How to write standards of performance. First of all, let me give you a definition of standards of performance. You might just write it on the top of your sheet. Just keep this in your mind because we'll be referring to it the rest of the morning. Standards of performance are conditions that will exist when a job is acceptably done. Standards of performance are conditions that will exist when a job is acceptably done. Okay? Conditions that will exist when a job is acceptably done. Now, let's talk about how to write standards of performance. And we'll just be walking down that sheet together. Well, I hope we don't, but we'll be going through it point by point. First of all, it says from the yearly plan or schedule, which is a big sheet you came up with on Monday, identify major activities and target dates. Now, that already should be down on your sheet, and you probably won't have to list that at another place. So essentially, you just look at your sheet and identify your major activities and your target dates for next year. Okay? Now also, Tuesday, we talked about job descriptions. And from your job description, which most of you, I assume, have now, list each responsibility you have been assigned. I'll be going through an example in just a moment, but I want to give you an overview of it. Then under each responsibility list, and here's our phrase again, what will exist when I have done a good job? My note is, use the dates and activities from the yearly plan to make the responses as definitive as possible. Fourth point, submit to your director for his approval. Fifth point, make periodic review and checks on your standard of performance. Now, let's take a look at an example. We'll cover those last points later at the bottom of the page. Remember this? This is a job description that we filled out on the vice president for sales working in the widget company. Okay? And remember we filled it out and we got down here and we listed these areas of responsibility? Okay, just wanted to refresh your memory a little bit. Now what we'll do is write a standard of performance for this fellow. Now he has two things which he brings to the situation. One is his yearly plan with his target dates and his activities. And the other is his job description, which lists his areas of responsibility. And now we're ready to write some standards of performance for him. Okay, just at the top, let's just write in standards of performance. Vice President for Sales. Okay? Now, the first thing, now let's just look at our how-tos. It says from the yearly plan, identify major activities and target dates. Okay, we got that. Then from the job description, list each responsibility you have been assigned. Well, the first responsibility that he had on his job description was in the area of planning. And it talked about a 5-year plan. So, we'll just list that. A, planning. And then under that, the responsibility to develop a 5-year plan. Now, we go to point 3. It says, under each responsibility list, what will exist when I have done a good job? Now, there'll be an extreme temptation to be very general here. In other words, to use terms which are very nice but really say nothing. So what you want to be aware of is try to be as definitive as possible. So, the standard of performance for this responsibility, I just list out here. And I say basically 2 points. A, I feel that I have done a good job there when I have submitted the plan to the president by August 1. Standards of performance essentially are the objective part of what you're doing. They're not designed to be the subjective part, and we'll talk about that a little later. So you want to focus in on questions like how, when, how many, where. You want to get as detailed as you can. And then I think another point under what will exist when I have done a good job would be that I include, and then I just list out some things that I think I will be including in my plan. Market projections. New product lines. And budget forecast. Okay? Now, essentially, all he would do is just go through each one of his responsibilities and then just list what will exist when I have done a good job. Now, let's look at another broad area which we had here. I won't, on his job description, his second responsibility, probably he would have several other points under planning, but we'll just skip down to organizing and see what that looks like. B, organizing. And he just lists his responsibility, which was to assign sales personnel to geographic locations. So we list that right out. To assign sales personnel to geographic locations. Now, what will exist when I've done a good job as far as this responsibility is concerned? Well, I think one thing would be if I had to determine my personnel needs in the field by September 1. Okay? B part. I think another one would be that if the personnel were notified of their assignments that I had made by October 1. Okay, again, we're just trying to answer questions, natural questions, about what will exist when I've done a good job. And then he would just go through the whole thing. Now, let's look at some considerations in writing standards of performance. And they're at the bottom of your how-to sheet. Let's look at these considerations. First of all, we're determining these things in advance. Doesn't do you any good to say this is what I should have done after the time is finished, but you determine these in advance. Second point, use clear, concise terms to answer questions, what, how, when, how many, so forth. Third point, you're concentrating on weighing the work, not the worker. And again, standards of performance are essentially the objective part of measuring. D point, they must be attainable. And I think this corresponds to what Steve mentioned in planning. Somewhere between what you can do yourself and what you can believe God for. And E, they must be committed to. One of the real benefits of standards of performance are that a person has a chance to list down on a piece of paper his particulars on what will exist when he's done a good job. And that provides a degree of commitment and of motivation, as was brought out the other day by Dr. Hendricks. Now, let's ask the question, why standards of performance? What can they do for me? Seems like every time when I get in a management talk, the guy comes up and he says, well, that sounds good, but what can they do for me? Well, standards of performance. First of all, they'll tie together your yearly plan and your job description. You've got two kind of separate entities now, and we want to try to integrate them. So here's your job description and here's your yearly plan. Two things you ought to have in your hand right now. And a standard of performance comes along and essentially integrates them. Because in order to answer the kind of questions that the standard of performance is asking, what will exist when I've done a good job, you've got to draw from your yearly plan to make that as definitive as possible. Particular dates, particular numbers, particular events that you feel will be going on when you've done a good job. Second point on why standards of performance, what can they do for me, is they provide an opportunity, as I mentioned just a moment ago, for personal commitment. For personal commitment. Third point, they provide a criteria between the acceptable and the unacceptable. Remember one of the questions we mentioned earlier? At the end of the year, you go to your director and he says, well, you just haven't done it. And you said, well, I thought I was doing a good job. Well, standards of performance will attempt to provide a criteria between the acceptable and unacceptable. Then a fourth point. Standards of performance make self-control possible. Self-control possible. As you begin to feel free and working with standards of performance, you'll find that your need as a manager to spend time and supervision will begin to decrease. Because what it does, it provides an opportunity for the fellow under you to make his own corrections as he begins to see that, in fact, he's not on course. And I think as a manager, this is one thing you really want to try to shoot for. To build the other fellow. Begin to give him a sense that he is controlling his own activities. So as you work out your standards of performance, it makes self-control possible. My fifth point on what can they do for me, they provide a basis then for effective reporting. And I'll go into much more detail a little bit later on this. They provide a basis for effective reporting. Now, implementation of standards of performance. First of all, you draft it up. Now, you are essentially under someone in this particular situation. That really doesn't make that much difference how you get it. In other words, you could draft it up. Your director could draft it up. I'm talking about standards of performance now. Or you could sit down together and do it. The important thing is, however you come up with it, that you've had a part in it, somehow or another. Otherwise, it becomes something which you have a tendency to rebel against. And you lose that very vital aspect of providing an opportunity for personal commitment to something which you've had a part in. So no matter what the beginning point of the process is, whether you're working on it alone, your director is working on your standards, or you work on it together, at some point you get together on it. So you have an opportunity for involvement in your standards of performance. Yes. Yes, this is your standard of performance. In this example, this is you and your standard of performance. Okay? We're talking about implementation now. Then, a very vital point, your director approves it. Because the natural question is, well, if a guy under me is going to sit down and come up with his own standards, man, he may not know anything. And he may be so far off that, well, that would be ridiculous for a man to have that kind of standard. But the second point is where he has to bring it to you for your approval. And that's where you begin to guide and challenge his thinking. Maybe a guy's extending himself too far, and from your experience, that's just impossible. You would begin then to try to show him, from your experience, why that's maybe not the best kind of standard to set. On the other hand, maybe the guy is setting his standard too low. This is a time when you would interact on that. But if you don't begin at this point where the guy has some involvement in it, it becomes, again, I think, a thing that can be very much rebelled against. If you just hand someone and say, or the standards and say, these are your standards. Now, that may be necessary on some cases. The more new a person is within an organization, that becomes probably the best way of operating. But if at all possible, you want to provide individual commitment. 3, watch out for this. Your standards can be technically correct and perfect and not used. They'll just become a document that sits over in a corner. So you will need to continually refer to and reference your standards of performance. And if you're not sold on them, I don't believe the people under you will ever be sold on them. So you want to always reference and refer to your standards of performance. Because again, that's the point at which you're committing yourself to something happening. 4th point. As Dr. Brandt mentioned last night and on several occasions, when your standards of performance aren't met, don't ignore it. Now, this works two ways. If these are your standards, you don't ignore them when they're not met. And I don't think you will. But also, if someone has some standards of performance and he's on your staff and they're not met, you don't ignore them. That's the time to ask why. That's your first line of defense to detect something going wrong. You don't want to come in and hit the guy over the head with a 2x4, but that's your opportunity to ask why. Maybe the guy needs some help. So that's your first opportunity to tip you off that maybe something is not really like it should be. So that'll be a perfect opportunity to come in and ask why. Okay? Now this afternoon in the workshops, you'll have an opportunity, I believe within the campus ministry, I don't know how the other ministries have planned it, to actually walk through your standard of performance for the year. And essentially, the approach has been to do this. In standards of performance, you can write one using this principle, realizing there are certain basic items that within the ministry of Campus Crusade, or within the campus ministry, or within the lay ministry, that need to happen in order for that guy to be doing a good job. But there might also be a part of that which is a variable which depends upon the individual. Here's an example. Within the campus ministry, a basic would be the guys should be having personal contacts or personal appointments. The variable might be how many he has. What range is he committing himself to? So on a standard of performance then within the campus ministry, you might have that responsibility written out and then have certain number of contacts and then have a blank. So you've provided the basic element within the campus ministry and you've left then the blank part to be filled in by that person. And again, what if he shoots low? Well, when he brings it to you, that's when you'll have an opportunity to challenge his faith and vision. If he shoots high, that's where you try to bring him back in a little bit and give him some of your experience. But the important thing is, again, you always want to provide an opportunity for personal commitment to these standards.